Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. We just finished up Philadelphia. Liberty Bell Smack on WWDB AM 860 with Marianne Costello, Sal Tartaglia, and myself. Guest on that show, Billy North, the speedster from the 70s on the Oakland A's World Series team, and also Jay Rosenzweig. And now we come into Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A little Russell talk with my brother, a mentor and friend, Ralph Williams. Yours truly, Mark Mancini here. 347-205-9631. Catch the archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to Power Now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, let me lay that red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Ralph, first of all, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? Third of all, I don't know where you want to start with the wrestling. There's a lot to talk about.
Oh, definitely. We have a lot to talk about tonight, so I'll be real quick. You can reach me at RalphWilliams737@gmail.com and on my Facebook page, Ralph Williams, or on my Facebook page, Sports Corner, the way I see it, and Wrestle Talk.
Yeah, let's get into this thing now with the Usos. Roman Reigns got on SmackDown trying to get the belts, trying to unify the titles here. I think this is inevitable now because I think they will get the titles from RK-Bro, and then that'll start the feud with Orton and Riddle. We've seen this coming for a while. They wanted to keep it together, but I think you need all the belts in one stable before we set up this WrestleMania next year in Los Angeles. And what better way to do it than have a couple belts around Roman Reigns and a couple titles around the Usos? Any thought to that? Maybe you got your own kind of concoction on this.
Well, I kind of suspected it happened too when I saw Roman Reigns beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania after we were lied to and told that this was going to be Roman Reigns' last match and he was moving on to Hollywood with The Rock, and that the bloodline was going to break up and it was going to be all this and that, and then Brock loses and then the Usos win their match, and now they want to combine the titles together. And I don't blame them for doing that, because I'm going to tell you something right now, Mark. They don't have enough people on their roster to cover both shows. So they have to have everybody moving back and forth. There has to be moving parts now. They don't have enough people to make good rivalries. They don't have enough people to change up storylines. So they have to have different storylines by moving people to different shows, like they did when SmackDown first came out. That's not a bad idea, actually. And later on, I want to tell you something that came from Conan that I heard on a podcast, a wrestling podcast on YouTube, about the WWE and the AEW. Wait till you hear this. You're going to really like this one.
Oh, man, that's going to be it's going to be interesting, to say the least, and we see where this thing's going. With the whole Usos and everything like that. It's interesting that you bring up, and we're getting a load of people coming through now with listening to the show, but you're bringing up an interesting thing that they don't have enough guys to cover SmackDown and Raw. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they're getting rid of guys too much. I don't know if it's a longer hour on Raw. I think SmackDown's a better show right now. With the 2 hours on a Friday, but Raw is the Monday Night Raw and the Rollins and all that stuff. But what's your take on this? Why don't they have enough guys? And we keep hearing about the new guys that are coming, and they last for more than a cup of coffee, and that's it.
Yeah, I don't know what they're trying to pull or what they're trying to do. All I know is that they need to cut Raw down to 2 hours. Because it's not working. It's not going. They don't have enough material. You could see it. They just don't have enough. There's too much talking going on anymore with WWE. You watch AEW, man, it's like strictly wrestling. You have a few little talks here and there, but it's just wrestling. And WWE, it's too much talking. The ending of Raw was at that one time was somebody talking. I mean, come on. I don't
right.
pay money to go to a Raw event to hear talking at the end. I want to see a good match.
Well, we were talking about that last night in Tampa with Peter Blake, part of that Tampa show on Wednesdays down there. And, you know, that's the big problem here with the WWE. We're talking about the matches with Steamboat and Flair, Steamboat and Macho Man. You had guys back then that held the belt. It was precise wrestling. Now you're right. You got guys that really aren't marketable here. I mean, this whole stable of the tag teams can't compete to the Steiner brothers, the Hart Foundation teams we grew up with. It's just like a patchwork type of thing thrown all together. And I'll start with the whole thing with Edge and Damian Priest and all that thing. Let's face it, the two big factions that I liked, you know, that after that old school and attitude era was the Nexus and the Shield. And they've tried to come up with something, and the WWE's dropped the ball. They had the Bray Wyatt thing where he got Kane. If he could have recouped on Undertaker, you would have had one hell of a stable there. This whole thing with Edge and Priest, I mean, this is a joke, if you ask me. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I think it's a joke. Edge has come back, and now he wants to stay back, come back full time. Beth Phoenix, I heard, is getting into shape to wrestle. She's coming back, his wife, because she hasn't been on the NXT broadcast. I watched NXT the other night. I'm not much of an NXT fan, but I watched them the other night. They had that championship night on there where all the championships were up for grabs. And, you know, they don't know what to do with that. But Triple H is back, so we'll see if he gets that back in order because it was out of order there when he wasn't around. And it wasn't Shawn Michaels' fault. It was Vince McMahon's fault. Vince McMahon right now, at his age, I feel, doesn't need to be involved in too much stuff. I think he needs to start passing it on to his kids or have Triple H run it or something, because even though he's making money, is what Conan said on that podcast, and I'll tell you about that a little later. But because believe me, you're not going to believe what I heard from Conan. And, you know, and Conan said this, and he's true to his word. He said that you're not going to believe the WWE last year made $1 billion, a billion last year. That's how much they made.
Wow. Let's get into the Conan interview that you did with him. Let's talk about that with the listeners. We're well over 100 right now, 7 minutes into the show.
Well, I didn't do an interview with him. I watched him on a podcast, on a wrestling podcast. And he had said that, and I quote, that the WWE made $1 billion last year. Don't let them fool you, you know, when they keep cutting all these wrestlers and doing all this and whatnot. Well, now he told me something very interesting, and, you know, I didn't really see it until Conan brought it up, and it's actually an interesting scenario here, Mark. Let's take a look at this. AEW is starting to go down the direction that WCW went. They're starting to pay all these old WWE wrestlers, just like WCW did, all these big money salaries, and now they were $50 million in a hole last year. So, you know, you thought, Mark, you actually thought that AEW had a good model. They have a good model. But then now their problem is they have too many prima donna wrestlers, and they don't know what to do with them. And if you take a look at the Young Bucks, they just fought FTR for the ROH Championship this last week or something. And I got to tell you, they lost to the FTR. I think the Young Bucks are being phased out. I think all the old executive vice presidents that started this company for Tony Khan are all being phased out. Next, Kenny Omega's going to get phased out because he's hurt anyway. It's going to take him about a year to come back. I mean, he's got shoulder problems. He's got a hernia. He's got two knee injuries. So he's got a lot of surgeries coming up and whatnot. So it's going to be a while for him to come back. But, you know, he might not even have a job there. He might be gone as an executive vice president because – the Young Bucks, it was the Young Bucks, Cody Rhodes, Chris Jericho, and Kenny Omega were the executive vice presidents when that organization started up. And now Tony Khan is doing, he's trying to run everything now. And it looks like the Young Bucks are unhappy because they don't even know where to put them. They're lost.
Well, here's the problem. The big problem is, Ralph, you got to get people that know how to run an organization instead of you trying to do 50 things in the company. You can't, you know, bring in talent, pay the talent, sweep the floors, clean the locker rooms, pick up the talent, drop the talent off. I've seen this in a few things. You know, even in my XPW days as the ring announcer, we had guys that did something. I mean, even though we didn't have a guy that had too much experience at the top, he seemed to know where to, you know, address the, you know, the accountability all over the place. So it was good and picked up steam. But I don't know what's happened to Vince McMahon here. I mean, you know, he's kind of lost it by trying to get himself involved in a botched match at WrestleMania with Stone Cold on that stunner. They got rid of during this pandemic. There's got to be at least 100 wrestlers that have been let go. And, I mean, really good wrestlers, and I don't even know if they know how to groom these guys to get them ready for the top. I mean, Keith Lee was one. Omos is another one. I mean, they're just big guys, and I know Vince likes big guys, but come on, man, you got to have some talent behind that, you know, girth.
Well, yeah, that's like on SmackDown. He's got that guy that was in that. Remember when Shane McMahon had that underground hour he was doing on Raw
right
back last year? He had that guy that's now Commander Aziz. He was in that underground thing. Commander Aziz hardly wrestles. That guy's
yep.
big. He's huge. He can wrestle. I saw him tackle down Braun Strowman. I mean, you know, so again, like, well, look who's back, Bruce Pritchard. Bruce Pritchard messed up Impact. He's messed up some other wrestling place organizations he's been with when he was let go the first time by the WWE. And he's been brought back twice. So, you know, Sanjay Dutt's not there no more. He's with AEW now. You know, he's managing Jay Lethal. So, I mean,
well,
you know, he's let go a lot of guys, you know, that have wrestling mind. You don't see Fit Finlay there anymore. Fit Finlay was
well, the big problem is, Ralph, when you look at it, is, you know, when Triple H and Shawn Michaels are running, you know, NXT, we didn't have these problems. And that was the big thing here. And now you're starting to see, I don't know if Vince is, you know, getting delirious here or what, but, you know, the whole thing, it just, you know, the WrestleMania thing, a lot of people said it, and, you know, I got to agree to the thing. The Saturday one was good. The Sunday one was kind of like, I've seen the Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns match. They laid it out for us at Madison Square Gardens, and, you know, they beat that into the ground. Where are you going to go with this now? Where does Brock Lesnar go from here? Who's his next opponent going to be? McIntyre's sitting there. He was on top of the pedestal. He's kind of slipped down. He's wrestling a guy like Happy Corbin, who now is going to go against Madcap Moss. So what do we do with Drew McIntyre now? And the thing is, once they start to go down, it's hard to get them back up. I mean, look at Seth Rollins. I love him dearly, but what's
yeah,
he going to do now
he's
here?
He's kind of laying away in the waste. Yeah. Yeah, Mark, I mean, yeah. You know, he's laying away in the waste too, Seth Rollins. And I heard that him and Becky Lynch are not very pleased right now with the WWE because of some of the stuff that they've done. I mean, there didn't have to be another Bianca Belair match against Becky Lynch. What, you couldn't find anybody else? I mean, you know,
right.
I'm not trying to say that she doesn't deserve it, but let's start mixing. Let's have a little bit of variety of these matches here. And that's, you know, that's not happening there. And AEW now can't find matches for people. They got too many guys there. Miro left unhappy. He retired completely. He said, I had enough of this business. I'm done. He
well,
retired.
Not only that, they bring in Veer Madin, and I don't know what this guy. This guy reminds me of, you know, a guy. He kind of looks like Skinner a little in the days, except he looks a little beefed up, but now we got Ezekiel,
yeah.
We got Elias, we got Erica, whatever you want to call this guy. This character's a joke, too. I mean, so there's a lot of things going on here that I don't quite understand. But, you know, if you wanted to keep it like it was before with all those guys, with the Steamboats and the Macho Mans, and the guys that paved the way for these guys, well, then you should have kept building up Ziggler all along the way instead of, you know, these other guys like, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura, who's lost without Boogs there. I mean, this is another wasted gimmick, don't you say?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And now you've got Sheamus. He's got a little gang going there, and then you are a little faction going there. And then, you know, that Shahir or whatever, he was brought in by Jinder Mahal. Jinder Mahal brought a couple of those guys in. You know, that Shanky and that Shamir, they came with Jinder Mahal. And they underused Jinder Mahal again, too. I mean, you know, as much as Jinder Mahal, and I don't blame him for being angry with management. He goes, he says, I'm angry because I was once a world champ or a championship, a world champion,
yeah.
And you don't even put me in any matches. You know, he fought Ricochet this week. So, I mean,
yeah, I remember his T-shirt coming out. I think it was the Maharaja or something.
Yeah.
You know, he'd come out, bust that one out.
I saw the matches against Randy Orton, with him and Randy Orton, you know. And, you know, so, I mean, it's just, it's terrible the way it's going right now. Vince McMahon should have never got rid of those wrestlers. He should have found ways of putting them in matches, find matches, make matches. That 24/7 championship's a joke. They need to have a TV championship, you know. And so you know you have it's terrible. It's now I'm hearing I read something today. They're phasing out Dominic Mysterio now. I heard they're going to phase him out. He's hurt from
the injury
or whatever.
Right. Yeah. So they'll probably phase him out for a little bit.
Yeah,
that's amazing. And what about, you know, the funny thing was, what about the guy that Seth Rollins had as his sidekick, and then he was going after Rey Mysterio's daughter? He was a good wrestler. I can't think of his name right now, but they kind of phased him out,
that's,
too.
They phased him out, and that was, I know his first name was Buddy, and then it was...
Buddy Murphy.
Yeah, well, he's in that faction with Malakai Black over there in AEW. He's in that faction with him. So
wow.
You know, that's what he's doing over there. And that
yep,
big
that's
guy
where Murphy got phased out. Yep,
yeah.
On that whole thing, you know, being the sidekick with Seth Rollins. But, you know, the thing is that I think, and now you can't even, you know, reinvent the Shield, even if you wanted to, because now Roman Reigns is too big for this thing. I mean, he's got his own thing going now, and it'd be
absolutely
basically Ambrose if you brought him back, and you know Rollins to try to get the belts. But that's the big problem. I mean, you know, we saw Rollins go his own way, and you know we saw the whole thing with Reigns, but I don't think you'll ever see Reigns go back to being in the Shield.
No, I don't think so either. Here's something, a nugget I have for you here, Mark. Remember when they first started the brand split, and then they went and they put SmackDown on Fox, and they brought in Eric Bischoff to handle SmackDown, and then they had Paul Heyman as executive director of Raw. They fired both of them. Here's two guys that know wrestling at the back of their heads, you know, and they fired them and now they have Heyman back with Brock Lesnar or with the Bloodline and Lesnar playing games with him and doing all that stuff. You know, they have him back doing that, where he was the executive director of Raw, and I thought some of the matches he put together were really good. And then all of a sudden, and then also, Mark, you have to understand, when Fox has your program on their network, they want control of it. So there's some control from Fox about what goes on SmackDown. And they wanted Roman Reigns on SmackDown. They asked for Roman Reigns. That's why he's still there. But, you know, so but now he's going to have to be on both programs because if they plan on merging these belts, which they are. And, it looks like they're going to merge the tag team belts, the men's tag team belts. And then you have the women's tag team champions. Who knows how long Sasha Banks and The Glow are going to be together. And now you've got Sonya Deville coming back. She's fighting Bianca Belair. I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's
here we
crazy.
Go, here we go with this now, you know. So.
Yeah, and you know what, Sonya Deville, when she was teamed up, I can't even think of
Liv
her partner
Morgan.
Now.
Liv
who
Morgan
was it again?
Was her partner. Liv Morgan. You know Liv Morgan?
No, I'm thinking of the blonde. The blonde when Sonya Deville.
Mandy, no, it was Mandy Rose.
Mandy,
sorry, Rose,
Mandy Rose, wasn't it?
Yeah, well,
that's when Otis came in it, and, you know, that whole thing they had, and, yeah, I remember that one, but Sonya Deville, there's another one, that they don't know what to do with her, you know, and Adam Pearce, and that's the whole thing that's that's making this thing fall apart, because, you know, Naomi's going to find herself on the outside looking in after she loses the SmackDown tag team belts. You know, she's getting a push now, but I can see her. Yep.
You know Sasha Banks can't be trusted. She's backstabbed every partner she's ever had, Sasha Banks. And
well,
now
not only
Bayley
that.
Working her way back. You know?
Yeah, Bayley will be the face. So. But Sasha Banks, once they lose the belts, they'll roll with that. This tag team kind of reminds me of Riddle and Orton. You know, yeah, Riddle's
too,
a good
yeah.
wrestler, but they start to split. The big thing will be Riddle and Orton going against each other. But then Riddle, I think, will fall in the middle of the pack somewhere. And the guy
yeah,
that kind of fell
be.
In the middle of the pack,
yeah.
here's a guy that's really surprising. And as we go well over 200 live listens, thank you guys very much. Coming out of Oklahoma, Florida, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Texas, Arizona.
Man,
you guys are tearing it up. Next week, the Bird Boys are back.
You.
We're talking sports. But here's the guy. I want to get it out there, Ralph. The guy that's kind of been in the middle of the pack, and you thought, okay, these guys get in the middle of the pack, and they kind of slip down the slide, but they find their way back, and the one guy that has is Sheamus. Sheamus is a guy that, you know, he every time you think he's done and over with, he kind of, you know, rolls right back in there. He reminds me of Big Show.
Yeah, there was rumors that Sheamus was supposed to retire. Not come back at this time around because he had a series of concussions. And so he has decided to come back. He was supposed to go to Hollywood, too, for movies. I heard he auditioned for a couple. And then I guess Vince McMahon gave him a small contract, told him to stay. I think he's got two more years. He just signed, you know, with the WWE. So he's going to stay. But he's got his little faction and Drew McIntyre, Drew McIntyre's contract was up. They gave him something else. They had him in the championship hunt. Now they're sliding him down, like you said earlier. I just think that the WWE is a disoriented mess. But you know what's interesting? They made $1 million last year. And Mark, that the money's all it is with Vince McMahon.
Wow, the merch just keeps going up. And
yeah.
Man, oh, man, somebody commented on T-shirts. Somebody's commented on T-shirts now. They just said they laid out on three T-shirts almost $100. So we got a guy saying that, and he's asking us what our favorite T-shirt is. I still got a CM Punk one around here, a white one.
Yeah, mine was Stone Cold Steve Austin, 316. That was mine.
Right, and asking us about shirts. I got a Monday Night Rollins one. And the Austin 316, yeah, that was another one. But the T-shirts prices are extraordinary. You could pay, believe it or not, about $35 for a T-shirt at these events, and you know that's
well,
what's happening.
The belts are $200. The belts are $200. When I used to work security, we have a venue here called Stage AE. When I used to work security for ROH and for NXT's live events there. NXT's live event, their belt alone is over $200.
Wow.
The NXT
Somebody's
belt.
Telling
yeah,
us
I
now we're going to comment. Jay out of Davenport, Iowa says, great show, guys, as always. Money in the Bank, I got one of those briefcases. Do you guys? That's a nice one, too, the Money in the Bank one. I remember that. I think I saw that one time at an event. It was $75 at the time. That's got to be well over 100 now.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, absolutely it does. And you know what's interesting? You know, you got the figurines out there. You got all these things. You got the, you know, Christmas time they advertise about the toy figures and the rings and the different video games and things like that. And, you know, I'm one of few people in public that actually saw Rey Mysterio without his mask on. So, I was the bellman in the early 2000s working at a hotel out by the airport here in Pittsburgh, and I took Rey Mysterio and his family's luggage up to their room, and I got to see him without his mask. So,
God, that had to be something.
Yeah, and I got to see Dominic when he was little. I mean, he was like only 5 or 6 years old. I mean, he wasn't even
That's
that
amazing.
Old yet.
That's
amazing. You know.
Unbelievable. 5 minutes left in the show. Where do you want to go in the next few minutes?
I'd like to know how Tony Khan can afford to screw up. because that's another thing that Conan brought up when I saw him on this podcast I was watching. He said, you know, he says, Tony Khan can afford to screw up when your family's, billionaires. I mean, they own the Jacksonville Jaguars. And, so the Khan family got a lot of money back in India and also here in the United States. They have a lot of property. When you have your family's money like that and you can afford to spend it, WCW didn't have a financial source after Ted Turner sold them off. You know, so when Ted Turner got out of the TV business, that's when WCW went down because when internet company or whatever that took over, Time Warner, they don't want nothing to do with wrestling. You know, so...
Well, not only that, I think the gimmick down there on WCW, you know, with the whole NWO and all that stuff, that was good. And, you know, the Four Horsemen. Matter of fact, you want to know something? I went to the Long Beach Grand Prix this past weekend. A buddy of mine took me, and I saw a guy wearing it was a light blue, and it said the Four Horsemen on it. And talking a little wrestling to him about the show. Yeah, that was. I remember the Four Horsemen, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely
great.
On that.
I just have to get out and go to that. That's super.
Yeah, you know, I never been to one of those, and he said he had an extra ticket. He said, "Let's go." And man, oh man, was that something to say the least. We'll touch bases more about it next week on the show, along with you. You're going to be talking about the start of the USFL this weekend. The Pittsburgh Maulers will be playing, and we'll be talking about that next week, along with the Pirates. They'll be in Chicago.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the Steelers and, you know, Dwayne Haskins passing and how they're going to have a celebration of life next week, you know. So that's going to be nice, and see if the Penguins can finally secure this playoff spot down the stretch.
Yeah. Also, everybody, I want to let everyone know, I do a USFL podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Look on my YouTube page or look under Maulers Talk. I talk Maulers and USFL. And I just did a summary of everything, who's on the team, who they drafted, who their coach is, and get everybody ready for Sunday. And they're taking on the Tampa Bay Bandits. And guess who the head coach is? Todd Haley.
Wow.
Todd Haley's the head coach of Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Todd Haley. I had a chance to interview him once. Great guy, you know, Todd Haley.
And
as we wind this show down, and that's going to be a good one. What time is that game on Sunday?
8 o'clock at night, 8 p.m. It's on FS.
Ooh,
FS1.
That might be. We have one for the TV. That's gonna be a good one.
Yeah, it's on FS1. Yep.
Yep. Tampa Bay Bandits, Pittsburgh Maulers. Good one.
So
hey, let everybody know what's on your agenda this week. How can people get a hold of you?
Well, I have Easter weekend this weekend. I want to wish everybody a happy and blessed Easter. As you know, my Sunday night Facebook shows will be on, even though it's Easter. Sports Corner, The Way I See It, next week, Tuesday, The Way I See It, Sports Corner Podcast. And then every Friday, even tomorrow, I have my Way I See It podcast as well. And that's all.
Yeah, definitely. And I know we'll be part of that Scott Morgan Roth show out of Florida.
Next week,
that'll be a good one before we start this one with the Berg boys. And, boy, I'll tell you, that's going to be a good one, as it is always, working with him down there. And as we wrap this thing up, stay tuned at the top of the hour, the cooking show out of, Indianapolis, John Guy, Eli, and, you know, Peggy, they host that one. And tomorrow morning, if you're up in Pittsburgh, 10 o'clock. In the morning.
Yeah,
it'll
Tarek
be
Brock.
The Brock Bucks and the Berg podcast hosted by Tarek Brock. Him and I will be talking about the second game of this four-gamer with the Washington Nationals, and that should be a dandy, too. And I know you chime in with some great questions on that one, Ralph, and I appreciate it. So,
yeah, I always
that'll
do
be
that.
A good
hey,
one.
Hey, Mark, before we go, I want to really thank the 200 listeners tonight. I really want to thank you guys.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are helping.
These guys are good. You know, we built up something.
Yes,
the crossover is great across the board, and we love this dearly. You and I have been building up something. It's just getting better and better each and every week. Until next week, for Ralph Williams out there in Pittsburgh, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles.
Everybody and be safe.
Yeah, you definitely enjoyed Russell Talk across the country. Next week, the Berg boys come back, and we open up the sports can. Have a great one, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Be safe.